Log Talk Radio. Left. The next day he went back. And he hired some fishermen to take them there, and they say they saw, the last thing they saw was the body being buried. Let me tell you, there are people out there that are willing to go more than the extra mile to take the gospel to countries. I don't even know if they understood the language. I don't know what they understood. But his family, so he's a young guy, maybe in his 20s or 30s. He went to college and everything. He went, he got his missionary license. His whole desire was to share the gospel. There are people out here, and their sole purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are going to the extremes, and we're simply focusing on us and our little box. The gospel has to be gotten out. Many of us are using our Facebook pages for whatever. And trust me, before you write me, it's your Facebook page. You can do whatever you want. You write. And I ain't mad at you, player. I ain't mad at you whatsoever. Trust and believe. What I don't like, I just scroll right on by. And I ain't commenting. And I ain't judging. It's your life. There's this song I listen to. She says, it's your life, what you're going to do, the world is watching you every day, no matter what you say. Okay, so, you know, it's your life, do what you want to do. I choose to give God praise, and that's what my subject today is, thanksgiving for God's deliverance. My subject today is thanksgiving for God's deliverance, and the key here is God's deliverance. In the Bible, when we look at the Bible's definition of thanksgiving, it says, oh, let me get out of there. It says, in the Bible, the meaning of thanksgiving reflected adoration, sacrifice, praise, or an offering. And I know we spend a lot of time focusing on the actual day itself, but the actual meaning of thanksgiving, adoration, reflecting adoration, sacrifice, praise, or an offering. Thanksgiving was a grateful language to God. Thanksgiving is a language. It's a language. And it's a language to God as an act of worship. Rarely, if ever, was thanksgiving extended to any person or thing except God. Thanksgiving is a language. It's a language. It's more than just a word. It's an actual total language. We try to sum up Thanksgiving in a day. We try to sum up Thanksgiving in a word. We try to sum up Thanksgiving in a meal. But Thanksgiving in and of itself is a full onslaught language. It involves much more than one meal. It involves much more than one moment. It involves more than just one day. It involves a full language that includes body, includes movement, it includes action, it includes speaking, it includes thoughtfulness. Have you ever thought about what language is? Language is speaking, action, movement. It's more than just one word. It's a total embodiment of movement and exercise. The English language, it's sometimes misinterpreted. But when you're giving, that's why it involves more than, you ever text somebody? There's inflection, influx when you speak. Like, thanks versus thanks. Like, yeah versus yeah. You ever told your spouse or your significant other, yeah. And then you tell them, yeah. Well, they know what that second yeah means. You tell somebody, nah versus No. You ever tell your kids?
Nah.
Oh, you tell them no. Well, when you tell them no, they exactly know what no means. But if you tell them nah, it's like, yeah, well, it's whatever.
Language. Okay, so when you're giving God things, when you have Thanksgiving as part of your life for God's deliverance, well, it's a language. So the reflection, the inflection of your motion and your emotion towards God for what he's done for you, it takes on a whole new embodiment of you. Whereas you're like, well, Lord, you know, I thank you for all you've done for me. I mean, even the prayer that you offer up to God for what he's done, it's so different. And I'm not talking about the person that does like this eradicated emotional prayer, and you really don't know where it's coming from. But look at the prayer that was in the Bible between the person that was grateful and the man that had this emotional stature. And Jesus said, well, that person right there is the one that is there. Okay, so then we have the widow with the two mites versus everybody that's coming up offering up their greatest offering. She gave the most because she was so sincere. She's like, God, this is what I have, and I'm giving it to you because I really adore you. Versus people that are giving, look, plop, here's $50, God. May everybody see my $50. The widow with the two mites came, and she was just like, Lord, I'm just so grateful that you gave me the two mites. I'm giving them back. Thanksgiving. The language. The gratefulness. The person that's just so grateful to have a roof over their head versus the person that proclaims and proclamates to everyone, look at the roof that I have over my head. Thanksgiving. The person that's so happy to be able to walk versus the person that shows everyone their walk so that everyone can see the shoes that they have on their feet. The language. It's adoration to God for what God has done. Not adoration to God to get glorification from men. Thanksgiving. A language proclaiming to God and showing God. It's an offering. And many times when people hear the word offering, they turn off because they're like, oh, you're asking for money again. No. I'm sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I've offered to God many times in my home. I've given God offering on the bus. Are you kidding me? I haven't always driven. I've been on excessive rides giving God offering. Don't get it twisted. I'd be in the doctor's offering. In the doctor's office, excuse me. And I'd be offering God. Oh, I'd be all the way in. My headphones on, tears just about dropping down, shaking hands under my chin, and I'd be just offering God my right there in the doctor's office. What? All the way in. Thanksgiving, a language. Many people don't know it. They're not thankful. Many people think God owes it to them. And that's why they don't get much. Let's look at Psalms 107. I'm not even going to be here long. I just want you to understand that many people dominate Thanksgiving on that third Thursday in November. I mean, they go all out. They go all out. I mean, whoa. I mean, they have the longest prayer in the world, food getting cold, people sneaking biscuits, sneaking, tasting and carrying on. And then it climaxes on Thursday. And it drops. We never discuss God again in our homes. We never discuss thankfulness. You know, we go around the table, what are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for being with my family. And some people, you never get together with your family again except at a funeral. Or you never visit with your family. And then when you do visit, y'all fighting and carrying on thinking about, remember that time grandma did so-and-so? And then y'all never visit again. So many people leave Thanksgiving dinner having said something they regret. And you spend the rest of the year, I'm not going to Thanksgiving dinner this year. I ain't going. They're going to make me, you know, I ain't never like Aunt Susie pies anyway. And they ain't make, you know they only making, they ain't making enough chitlins for everybody. And you know they don't want you, they want to take a plate. I mean, there's always all this controversy. But the whole pinnacle of Thanksgiving is adoration to God. Many people don't even mention God at their Thanksgiving dinner. But what about June? When there is no dedicated date for Thanksgiving, is there a language of Thanksgiving in you in May or April? And I'm not talking about Easter. I'm just talking about Thanksgiving. Do you speak a language of Thanksgiving in August? Do you speak a language of Thanksgiving in October? And I'm not talking about the shopping for Thanksgiving Day, but do you speak a language of Thanksgiving in February? When it's cold, in February it seems like it is so cold, and it gets dark at like 4:30, and it's blowing all kinds of cold air, whether it's snow in the north or just cold, windy rain in the south. Do you still have a language of Thanksgiving? Look at what Psalms 107 says, and I'm reading from Holmes Christian Study Bible. It says, Thanksgiving for God's deliverance. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And I like the part that it says faithful, because God's love is enduring. It never turns from you. His faithful love endures forever. And his family, that missionary, that young missionary's family has to hold on to God's word. I read about him, and CNN shared this horrifying story about a 13-year-old girl who lived in, if I'm not mistaken, Chicago. She wrote this award-winning essay about gun violence and how she has to put her headphones on and let the music take her away from her situation because the violence, the gun violence where she lived was so dynamic. And her essay was so phenomenal that she won an award for it. And it was 2 years ago. This year on Thanksgiving Day, in her home, a stray bullet came through her home and struck her. She said, Mommy, I'm shot. She said, Mommy, I'm shot. And died in her mom's arms on Thanksgiving Day. 13 years old. Young African American teenager. Shot down in her barn. And you may say, how does God's faithful love fit in all of this? How do I give God thanks? How is my Thanksgiving language fit into all of this? Do I have all the answers? No. But I do know this. God's love is in everything. God is in control of everything. God is sovereign. This young lady, according to CNA, they read her essay on CNN. You can go, I guess you can Google it. I was watching it the day after Thanksgiving. Her family must be heartbroken, intelligent, seemingly cut down in her palm. Who has the answers? God does. I don't have all the answers, but one thing I do know, the world never, ever lies. The world is never wrong. And if I had something to tell the family, I would tell them this. Take solace in this. God's faithful love endures forever. God's faithful love endures forever. And even in anybody's situation, whatever situation you're facing, whatever, and I mean whatever, I've had some very challenging situations in my life. Very. Even up until this past week. Very challenging situations. Even in those, my Thanksgiving language is not going to change by the grace of God. Because the Bible says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And then it goes on in the next verse. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim. The whole Christian study Bible uses this word. It says, proclaim that he has redeemed them from the hand of the foe. And sometimes people think their foes are from without. And we do have foes without. All around us there are enemies. But sometimes our foes within. Because we'll get bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, and it will take the power from us that God gave us. My husband preached a message last night. He said, God gave us all power through Jesus Christ. If we allow bitterness, unforgiveness, and anger to rule in our lives, we won't be able to use the power that God gave us. It will snatch the power from us. We won't even be able to say that we've been redeemed. Bitterness is an enemy. Unforgiveness is an enemy. Because as long as you carry that, you can't trust in God. You're trusting in yourself. But when you can throw bitterness to the wind, when you can throw anger to the wind, when you can throw unforgiveness to the wind, then you can say, I've been redeemed. I can forgive. That family from that missionary, they released a statement and said, we knew our son and we forgive, genuinely forgive those who killed him because they trust God. You can only truly, truly say you've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy when you completely trust God and realize that his love is faithful. His love is faithful. My husband was talking to me so intensely yesterday about commitment, love, marriage. And it was so soothing, so encouraging, so powerful. And it all ties into God's faithful love. And thanksgiving language. Language of thanksgiving embodies commitment. Faithfulness is commitment. God is committed to loving us. The Bible goes on to say in verse 3, Psalms 107 and 3 from Holy Christian Study Bible, and has gathered them. Not only did he redeem us from our foe, but he has gathered us from the lands, from the east and the west and from the north and from the south. God has gathered us. Not only have we been redeemed from the enemy, but he's pulled us from the outlying land and pulled us to him. He's pulled us to him. He's drawn us. You know that song that says, draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord? Draw me. God has drawn us. The next verse goes on to say in verse 4, some wander. Some people are wandering. They don't know what their purpose is. They don't know who God is. They don't know where their relationship stands with God. But God has drawn them. Some wandered. See, it says wandered. It doesn't say wandering. It says some wandered. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed. That means you've been redeemed. Some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way. So they couldn't even find their way. They couldn't find their way to God's love. They couldn't find their way to forgiveness. They couldn't find their way to calm in the midst of anger. They couldn't find their way to thankfulness. They couldn't find their way to trust. But God, some wandered in the desolate wilderness, finding no way to a city where they could live. They couldn't find comfort. Some people can't find comfort, can't find warmth. Even though they're in a warm place, they can't even get warm. They can't get cozy. They can't get any of that. But God, faithful love, but God's faithfulness. See, that's why it's important that this scripture starts with, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Because some wandered, they couldn't find their place. Look at what happens. The Bible says in verse 5, they were hungry and thirsty. Their spirits failed within them. That's what the Bible says. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Some people hunger for love. They hunger to be accepted. But God says, I'm here. I accept you for who you are. I accept you. I love you. I love you. I love the person. A lot of people working to fit in. You know what? I told my baby daughter, actually. I've always told my kids, actually, even my son. I told my daughter, I told my son. I think I was in the car with my two youngest kids. I was in the car with my two youngest kids. But I've always told my kids this. I said, you know what? Always be you. I told my daughters, I said, me, I'm not a makeup person. I'm not. I don't condemn people that wear makeup. So before y'all write me, hold up. Put that pen down. Clothes, not a makeup person. I never have been. I don't condemn it, but I'm not a makeup person. I'm not. What are you? My daughter be wearing masks and all. I use water to wash my face. Every now and then I use a cocoa butter scrub like once every 2 or 3 months when I feel like it. Other than that, I use water. Warm water when I'm getting out of the shower. That's it. Now, I will oil and cocoa butter myself up every day. My husband tell you, it takes me forever to get lotioned up because I oil and cocoa butter up every single day. But overall, this is just me. This is just me. I said, just be yourself. Y'all are teens, you're 20, whatever you are. I told my kids, I said, this is who God made me. Whatever I am. I'm 51. My husband say 50. I would say 50. My husband's like, you know you're 51, right? I'm 51, whatever wrinkles, not many, but whatever they are, I said, and God has blessed you with the same genes. You don't have to wear makeup. If that's your choice, I hardly ever do my eyebrows. Whatever they, these are the genes God gave me, and I have accepted them for what they are. I'm not even a lipstick person. I'll chapstick them lips for because I don't like them crack lips, but this is me, and I'm grateful for who God made me. I hunger and thirst after righteousness. I have a thankfulness language that involves me loving God and knowing that God loves me. And I tell them, when you look in the mirror, know that God made you in the beauty of holiness. And when he looked at you, he said, yeah, that's good. He said, yeah, that's good. God looks at you and he says, yeah. That's good. There are people hungry and thirsty for acceptance. They don't even know that God created you and said, yeah, that's good. You know? I told him, when I wake up in the morning, somebody that lays next to me and says, good morning, beautiful. You know? There is someone that wakes me up every morning and he says, yeah, I created you. Don't try to fit into someone's bubble. Know that God created you and loves you. Oh, man, my time is up. Look in verse 6. He says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He rescued them from their distress. There's people distressed, but you're crying to the wrong one. I got you. You're crying to the wrong one. Don't cry to Paula Jean. Don't cry to Ruby Mae. Cry out to God in your distress. Why? Because he's the rescuer. He's the rescuer. Verse 7, I got to go. He led them by the right path to go to a city where they could live. God will plant your feet in a place where you will be satisfied. But you got to cry to him. He's going to lead you. And finally in verse 8, and I'm closing with this, let them give thanks to the Lord for his faithful love and his wonderful work for all humanity. King James Version says, oh, that men would praise God for his wonderful works toward man. And I have to go. Listen, God bless y'all. The Thanksgiving language is so profound, Dave, but it's in the way you interact with God. It's not just a day. It's not just a meal. But it's a total language and to the inflection in your voice, in your movements, in your hand gestures, in your total language. Give God thanks for your deliverance. He's delivered you, whether you recognize it or not. God has truly delivered you, your family, your children from so many things, and He has so much more in store for you. God bless you. Listen, my name is Evangelist Charlene Stoss. I appreciate y'all so much. Listen, enjoy the rest of your day in Jesus. I hear it's cold in New York, my mom says. It's actually warmed up down here in Greenville. I love you. I look forward to talking to you again next week. Next week is going to be the first Saturday in December. Look, God has, you need to call somebody, you need to text them, email them, and let them know. God has kept, Facebook them. You can let it be your status. Tell them God has kept you. 11 months into 2018, and actually the enemy thought you weren't going to make it this far, but we made it. Tell them God has kept you. Meet us tomorrow in our 11 a.m. service. We're going to be at Jesus Saves Ministry, 1007 West Arlington Boulevard. My anointed husband is going to be preaching in the 11 a.m. service. You don't want to miss it. We're going to be singing. We're going to be dancing. Our Thanksgiving language is going to be flowing in the name of Jesus. God bless y'all. Enjoy the rest of your day in Jesus. I know I am. Hallelujah to God. Be blessed and enjoy Jesus. Take care. Happy Thanksgiving. Praise Him. Sister Nancy?